Thank you. ಸೇವಮಾನಸ್ಯ
ಪೂರ್ವೇಷಾಂ ವೃತ್ತಿಮಾನ್ ವಹಂ
ಪೂರ್ವೇಷಾಂ ವೃತ್ತಿಮಾನ್ ವಹಂ
ನಾತಿ ದೂರೇ ಕಿಲಾಶ್ಚರ್ಯಂ
ನಾತಿ ದೂರೇ ಕಿಲಾಶ್ಚರ್ಯಂ
ಯದಾತಿ ತಂ ನಿಬೋಧ ಮೇ
ಯದಾತಿ ತಂ ನಿಬೋಧ ಮೇ
And the cow delivers milk, the miracle of aggregate food values. The human society, therefore, maintains these two important animals very carefully so that they can wander everywhere in cheerfulness. But at the present moment, in this age of Kali, both the bull and the cow are now being slaughtered and eaten up as foodstuffs by a class of men who do not know the Brahminical culture. The bull and the cow can be protected for the good of all human society simply by spreading of Brahminical culture as the topmost perfection of all cultural affairs. By advancement of such culture, the morale of society is properly maintained, and so peace and prosperity are also attained without extraneous effort. When Brahminical culture deteriorates, the cow and bull are mistreated, and the resultant actions are prominent by the following symptoms. Om Ajnana Tiniranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tatmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovrishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Yadati Svapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Gurava Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahakadaragunathamitam Tam Sajivam Sādvaitam Sāvadūtam Parijanakaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Rādhā Krishna Pādām Sahagana Lalitā Shri Viśākhānvitām Sya Namo Om Vishnu Pādāya Krishna Vreshthāya Bhūtale Śrīmate Bhakti Vedānta Swāmi Niti Nāmane Namaste Sāraswate Deve Gauravāni Prachārine He Vishesha Śrūnyavādi Pāśyātya Deshakārine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Very happy to be back again in Jagannath Mandir after 1 year. And it is nice to see so many devotees coming here this morning. Of course, this temple is becoming small, and perhaps Jagannath has his own plans. What he wants, a much bigger place where many, many more devotees can gather. And I'm sure, because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy and the sincere devotional service and enthusiasm of all of you, it will quickly be manifest. This chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam is entitled How Parikshit Received the Age of Kali. Having been moving around his kingdom, he wants to observe what is going on. That is the duty of a king. A king is supposed to know what is happening in his kingdom. And sometimes the kings would themselves move around, even incognito, as Lord Ramachandra did sometimes in Ayodhya, to just see what was the condition of the praja. And he would take care of them, like a father would take care of the children. This was the relationship between the king and the subject. Now in this verse it is being described that there was some disturbance, and we will see the verses to come of what the disturbance exactly was and how King Parikshit dealt with it. But the current verses explain that the personality of religion, dharma, personified religion, had assumed the form of a bull, and Mother Earth had assumed the form of a cow. And Mother Cow, or Mother Earth in the form of a cow, was grieving as if she had lost her child, and she had tears in her eyes, and she had lost her luster. So Dharma, personified Dharma in the form of a bull, was very concerned. And therefore he inquired from Mother Earth or Mother Cow as to what the problem was. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada has thrown a lot of light on the importance of the cow and the bull in human society. It's a very, very nice and eloquent purport. Very succinctly but strongly, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes the need for protecting cows and bulls because that is an integral part of preserving Brahminical culture, which is necessary for human society to flourish and achieve prosperity materially as well as spiritually, and of course eventually to attain the goal of life. Srila Prabhupada makes a very, very important statement here. When the bull and the cow are in a joyful mood, it is understood that the people of the world are also in a joyful mood. In other words, if you want happiness in human society, if you want people to be happy everywhere, then we must make the cows and bulls happy. Such a simple formula. Of course, we have to also chant the holy names and we have to serve Krishna very nicely. But they're not separate things, because our source of livelihood, our economics, our social structure, our social values and norms, all these are very intimately connected with our search for spiritual perfection. Just yesterday we were driving down from the Lakshmi Narasimha temple and come on this side, and the Karnataka day was being celebrated. I don't know if the word celebrate usually implies something positive, has a positive connotation, but here I don't know what the right English word is. I don't know if it is celebration, but they had some kind of a program all over the streets, and then there were some people singing things which seemed not so refined and cultured, rather cheap and vulgar, and all kinds of things, attracting just the wrong kind of people, and then I believe after that they would feed everybody liquor and everything else. And this is the kind of culture and cultural values that we are now promoting, that the leadership also is promoting nowadays. So this kind of, nowadays I believe there's a lot in the news about corruption. But what about the corruption of values like this? Because we have ignored the Brahminical culture, which encompasses everything, the spiritual values, the social values, cultural values. Therefore, we are finding ourselves in such a difficult situation today that people have become so degraded and so fallen that this is their standard of culture. The Vedic culture is actually so refined. It is so wonderful. It is so dignified. Everything is respected in Vedic culture. Mother Earth is respected. Mother Cow is respected. All living beings are respected. And all these things are done in connection with service to the Supreme Lord. So what a valuable jewel we have lost. This is something that has to be preserved for the very sanity and the existence of our human society. So we are now busy chanting Hare Krishna, which is of course the Yoga Dharma, and which is the principal limb of devotional service in the age of Kali. But the chanting of Hare Krishna cannot be separated from the conditions in which we live, from the conditions of society, from our mental makeup, from our values, and so on. The Varnashrama system today has practically collapsed, as Srila Prabhupada explains. And practically all we can do is to chant Hare Krishna and become nice Vaishnavas and counteract the negativities of the modern day so-called culture. And one of the important ways of supporting our chanting of Hare Krishna and our service to Krishna is to have the right kind of social values, cultural values, and the economics. And this is where we come to the call of the Guru. Srila Prabhupada explains here that the reason that human society can be happy by protecting the cows and the bulls and keeping them happy is that the bull helps the production of the grains in the agricultural field, and the cow delivers milk, which is a miracle of aggregate food values. This is in some substance the reason why even economically it is important for us to protect the cows and the bulls. Today our economics is based on the factory, huge factories that produce all kinds of unnecessary necessities. Prabhupada said one time in one purport, unnecessary necessities. So we consider them necessities, but actually they are not necessities. Rather, they are harmful to our spiritual, cultural, social, and all kinds of development, actually. We have developed a very warped and distorted idea of what progress is and what development is. And we think that making a big factory and creating some glitter and glamour and razzle and dazzle to the modern day world with shopping malls and so on is progress. But factually that is not so. This is only degradation, it is not progress. The Vedic culture emphasizes simple living and high thinking, and not high thinking and simple living. That is the tendency of the Shudra tendency. Generally speaking, a Brahmana would live simple and think high. Kshatriyas, of course, they live high and they think high also, the real Kshatriyas. The Vaishyas, they are also something like that, if they are genuine Vaishyas as per the Vedic culture. But the Shudras, they want to live high and think low. So today we see a predominance of this mode everywhere. So we have to simplify our life. Without simplifying our life of all the unnecessary necessities, we cannot make Krishna consciousness something very, very prevalent all over the world. It is going to be very hard to persuade people to come to Krishna consciousness. But when we have a very simplified culture that is dependent on the gifts of nature, that is the gifts of Lord Krishna, it is going to be hard for us to create a society where Krishna is in the center of everything. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in first canto itself, when Srila Prabhupada comments upon Queen Kunti's prayers, he mentions that human society flourishes by the gifts of nature and not by gigantic industrial enterprises. So the gifts of nature are what humanity really needs to live happily. We don't need anything else. As Srila Prabhupada once famously said, we cannot eat nuts and bolts. We have to eat grains and fruits and vegetables and drink milk and so on. So we are relying so heavily on the products of the industry and the factories, little realizing that ultimately at the end of the day, the production of the field is what we need for our survival. So it is such a beautiful and wonderful life with cows and bulls. It is something that is so far removed from our modern day urban living, probably many children today in schools will not even know where milk comes from. Yes, it comes from the bottle, or it comes from the polythene bag, or it comes from some milk company or something like that. So in the name of progress, we have become so far removed from Vedic culture, from biblical culture, that people have no conception today, even in India, what to speak of the other countries. Even in India now, and even in South India, as you travel around even Bangalore, we see strong remnants of the Vedic culture, no doubt, but also we see the degradation taking place here very rapidly. Even in the last 1 year since my visit, I'm seeing a big difference here. And after yesterday night, looking at the so-called celebrations, then there's all the need for us to really preach Krishna consciousness very, very strongly. So the cow, Srila Prabhupada explained, is such an offenseless animal because she gives us everything. She transforms her own blood into milk and feeds us. And what does she take? She just takes grass and she takes our waste products from the kitchen and the agricultural field. She happily eats that and she gives us the most nutritious miracle food for humanity, which is milk. And yes, there is a difference between buffalo milk and cow milk. When we people now prefer buffalo milk because it's good for tea, but actually cow milk is full of all nutritious elements that are required for body and even for the brain, for the mind. Milk, cow's milk especially, is the ideal sattvic food. Unless we become sattvic, we cannot appreciate spiritual things. A person who is absorbed in the lower modes of passion and ignorance just cannot come around to understanding the higher values of life. But our food, our diet has a very important bearing on our consciousness. Ahara shuddhau tattva shuddhi tattva shuddhau pravatmiti smriti lambhe vipragantinam vipramokshah sarvagantinam vipramokshah. So ahara shuddhau sattva shuddhi. So if our ahara, if our food is shuddha, is pure, then our existence becomes purified. Sattva shuddhau pravatmiti. If our existence is purified, then our memory and the fine tissues of the brain also become purified. With memory being purified like this, then one becomes attracted to the spiritual path and one moves towards the path, towards the goal of liberation. So food plays such an important role. And cow's milk is a very important ingredient for humanity. And as Prabhupada explains on numerous occasions in his teachings, that cow's milk can be then transformed into so many wonderful foodstuffs like ghee and butter and many, many other things, derivatives of milk. You can have a whole culture based on just the products of the cow. Medical therapy can take place on the basis of panchagavya, the five products of the cow. So it's a whole culture, it's not just a question of one animal. We see that in the Vedic culture, it is not recommended that we should take care of goats or dogs or some other living entities in the way that it is recommended for cows. Of course, we are not to harm animals. Even dogs, who are considered to be sinful creatures, in previous ages, the householders were expected to protect animals, but even for the dogs, they were to leave food on outside. So even the animals would be protected. But specifically there is mention of the cow, which is to be domestically reared and loved and cared for. And it is not for any small reason that the cow is considered the mother. Our biological mother gives us milk for how much time? Only when we are a couple of months old, that's all. After a certain age, 1 or 2 years or whatever, then the mother cannot give us milk. So the mother's milk is useful to us, so we can obtain it only for a small duration of our life. But mother cow can give us milk for our whole life. So this is the value of mother cow. And incidentally, yesterday at the Lakshmi Narasimha temple, when we were talking about Tulasi Devi, I incidentally mentioned about mother cow, and we mentioned how Brahminical culture means go Brahmana Hitayaksha, because Krishna is the well-wisher of the cows and the Brahmanas. But of the two, the cows are more dear to Krishna than the Brahmanas. Because the Brahmanas can fall down, as they do in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, most Brahmanas, so-called Brahmanas, are in a fallen condition. But the cows don't fall down. The cows will remain cows. The Brahmana can become a Dvijabandhu, or it can become something even lower than that. But the cow will always remain a cow. The service to cow is so important for us. And she is like a mother, not only because she gives milk, but also she gives affection. The cow becomes a family member of the house. One time, some years ago, there was a big agricultural fair and exhibition organized by the government. And many, many farmers from different parts of the country had been brought there by the government, from all representing all the different states. And one of the ministers from the central government, he happened to visit this fair. And he was moving around the different pavilions, and he hailed from Maharashtra. So when he came to the Maharashtra pavilion, he talked to one of the farmers who was there from one region of Maharashtra. And he saw that he had this local breed of cows and bulls with him. And the minister, he spoke to him a little condescendingly and said, "You're still so backward, you still have these cows and bulls and there's no tractor. You should now move with the times and you should become more advanced. Now you should have some tractors and some other machines. So if you like, then I can arrange a loan for you and then you can buy a tractor." So, and this, I read an article about this, and the journalist then wrote, the reply that the farmer gave left the minister speechless, and the minister just quietly walked away. So what was the reply the farmer gave? He said, "No, thank you, sir. I don't want a tractor, because the tractor can't love me." The minister's jaw dropped. He wasn't prepared for this kind of an answer. And he quietly slunk away. So our leadership today, unfortunately, has no vision, has no idea, no clue. They are so carried away by the modern paradigm of so-called development and industry and modernization and mechanization. They think this is advancement. They are so far removed from Vedic cultural values and systems. But the mother cow and father bull, they are so precious to us. They are part of our family. They give affection. They share in the joys and sorrows of the family. And whenever there is mother cow, there is all auspiciousness. And bull, he tills the fields, he gives us food to eat, and therefore he's like the father who earns a livelihood for the family, comes back and then feeds the family. So the cow and bull together are indispensable to the human society, just as the mother and father are indispensable. And in any cultured society, when the mother and father grow old and quote-unquote unproductive, we don't send them away. There is no concept of an old age home in the Vedic culture. Unless you renounced life, unless you left home as a renunciant, you were expected to take care of your elderly parents. Because that was part of the culture. You didn't need an old age home. Such was the culture. And similarly, nowadays people at the slightest economic difficulty, or sometimes even without that, out of sheer greed, they sell their cows and bulls to the slaughterhouse. And this happens even to the Hindu farmers in the villages in India now, because of economic compulsions, and also because they are unaware of spiritual values and untrained in these things. And also they do not know how the cow and the bull can be used economically for prosperity. It is explained in the scripture, Gomaya Vasate Lakshmihi, that in Gomaya or in cow dung resides Lakshmi. Lakshmi is the goddess of prosperity. So where there is Lakshmi Devi, how can there be poverty? In other words, a farmer should not be poor if he understands how to treat the cow and the bull properly and how to utilize the products of the cow and the bull properly. The cow and the bull are so useful, just imagine, that even their waste products are wealth for humanity. Is there any such animal? Not even the human being. Just consider for a moment the worship of the deities. There is such a consideration of shuchi or cleanliness. If you are worshipping the altar and you have to answer the call of nature, even if you have to go to bath water, you have to actually take bath, change your clothes and then go back. Even if you haven't contaminated the altar, but even if you have gone outside to pass water, you can't go back in on the altar just like that. So such is the condition. So the waste products of different animals, they are considered impure. And whenever there is any touch of these products, then one has to purify the place and sanctify the place. But just consider for the cow dung and the cow urine. Even to clean the altar sometimes, you may use cow dung and cow urine. What to speak of ordinary places like some home or some hall or something like that. Even the altar can be cleaned. What to speak of the altar, even the Lord is bathed with Panchagavya. You all remember Krishna book and the story of Krishna killing Putana. And after Putana was killed and Krishna was lying on top of her, she had assumed her gigantic 8 or 12 mile form. And baby Krishna was playing happily on top of her as if nothing had happened. And the gopis came in great anxiety and they brought him down. And then they decided to protect him by various measures. Shukadeva Goswami explains that first of all, the Mother Yashoda moved the switch of a cow around him to invoke auspiciousness, and all the while they were chanting mantras, the names of Lord Vishnu. Then they sprinkled upon him dust that was raised by the hooves of the cows. So not just the products of the cow, but even the dust that is touched by the hooves of a cow are also considered auspicious. Then after that, they bathed Krishna in cow urine. And after that, Mother Yashoda smeared the body of baby Krishna with cow dung and she applied tilak, chanting the names of Lord Hari all the while. So this is the level to which the Vedic culture considers cow urine and cow dung to be pure, that the very Supreme Lord can be bathed in these things. So if the waste products of an animal are so pure that they can be applied to the body of the Lord, what does that speak about the animals themselves? So therefore these animals, the cows and the bulls, are worshipable for us. One time, you've heard of Akbar and Birbal, isn't it? Every child here has heard the stories of Akbar and Birbal. So, one time Akbar asked Birbal, "So Birbal, which is the best animal in your culture?" So then Birbal replied, "Well, the goat and this and that." So Akbar was puzzled, "But I thought you people worship cow." So Birbal replied, "Your Highness, you see, cow is, we don't consider an animal, we consider cow as mother." So, you asked me what animal, so I replied. So this is how the Vedic culture considers the cow and the bull. And today, the cows and the bulls are in a pathetic situation in our country. It reflects the cultural values and the social values. It reflects our consciousness. It reflects the degree to which we have forgotten Krishna. So therefore, it is very important for us to... It's a big issue. It's a big problem. But at the end of the day, if we spread Krishna consciousness, and we have to also, along with the chanting of Hare Krishna, create a culture, because a culture is the setting. Just like a diamond needs a setting. So also chanting Hare Krishna and Krishna consciousness is the diamond, but it needs a setting. And that setting or the background is a culture. And the cows, the bulls, and various other aspects of our Vedic culture need also to be nurtured and encouraged and nourished. So we will see in the future verses what the predicament of Mother Cow is and why she is crying and why she is so unhappy. So because we started the class late today, and we have again another class coming at 11, and we have to have breakfast now. So we will stop here for just a couple of questions or comments, if any, and then we will pray for class. Hare Krishna, Shamsundar Prabhu. Any comments you'd like to make?
You mentioned about the importance of pure food.
Yes.
In his first commentary on the first sutta, Vedanta Sutta, Ramanujacharya mentioned, quoting Purvacharyas like Dhamidacharya and Bhakacharya, that memory is dependent upon pure food, as you said. But also that upasana is then dependent upon memory. And then bhakti itself depends upon memory, because what is bhakti? It's smarana, always remembering the Lord. So that's why it's so important to eat only prasadam. One comment. Other thing is that you mentioned about the gopis spreading on the Krishna, that in the Pancharatra it mentions various types of bathing, like a divya snan if it's raining when the sun is out. But also another way of bathing yourself in manasasthana. But another way of bathing is actually putting the dust raised from cows. That's bathing. It's actually a method of purification and bathing.
Jack, thank you very much. Any other questions? Yeah.
We are living in city. We are not living in village. Yes, and a lot of problems in city life also.
How do we
protect the cows from our city in daily life?
The question is that now, since we are living in the city, how do we protect the cows? Because the cows are only in the village. Yeah, nowadays they are not even in the village. We have not left them any place. Because we have made everything into the city. Even in the village, people are becoming city dwellers. They want to get all the comforts of the city, so-called comforts of the city, into the village. So I don't have any easy answers to what you're asking. It's a big question, it's a big thing. But at least, if we become aware of it, that's the first step. And spread this awareness, and spread this culture by preaching and so on. And there are many other things that we can do, of course. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to have projects of self-sufficient farm communities where we could do such activities and demonstrate to the world how practically that these things can be done. So there are various levels at which we can do this, but number one, let us become educated and aware about these things, and at least in the devotee community, let there be a strong awareness. And then in the course of our preaching, this is one of the things that we should also talk about. Okay? Yes.
Prabhu, these days even farmers have a predicament. You were just mentioning about mechanized farming.
Yes.
Farmers have no option, because due to advent of Kali Yuga, even the laborers have become very lazy and they don't want to work. It's much easier looking after tractors than taking care of labor, because they don't want to work. So how do we tackle this situation? As Kali Yuga approaches, it's definitely going to go from bad to worse only.
So the question is, why do the laborers not want to work? Because they are being made lazy and they are being allured by the glitter and glamour of the city. They are being allured to become laborers in a factory. And therefore, the sanctity of agriculture and cow protection has been diminished, and it is seen as a burdensome thing. Because they get a little more money living in the city, they don't consider the quality of life, they don't consider how much they will spend by living in the city, they don't consider the squalor and the slums in which they will have to stay in the city. So the whole culture nowadays is such that it attracts people to the city. So that is why villagers don't want to stay in the village. So we have to make village life livable again for the villagers in all respects. If you create a sense of sanctity and necessity from all points of view about village life, then slowly we can make this possible. I am associated with some projects in some other states where we are trying to encourage the villagers to come back to the village. They have left their village, they have adopted one village far up in the jungle in the mountains. And even from there, the villagers have deserted. And now they are coming back because we have provided them water from the forest for their agriculture. We have brought the cows back into the village. Now they have left the cows in the forest. Now they are bringing the cows back. And they had a fourfold increase in their agricultural production. And they're also practicing organic farming, some of them, they're beginning. And they were bonded labor practically, because they had to take loans from their employers, and they forever remained bound to them. And now that they came back to the village, they were able to pay back the loans at one go, and they're living a life of dignity. So it's a big topic, but we have to see it in the total context of our values and what we are encouraging. And they also don't want simple living in the village now. Because through television and through cinema and everything, they are propagating New York and Bombay and Delhi, Bangalore, all the glitter and glamour to the poor villagers sitting far away in the countryside. He's just watching this and thinking, yes, this is what I want to have. And makes him so frustrated in his life. Yes, absolutely.
The previous person was saying that how can we see, how can we keep cows in the city when they're in the village?
Yes.
Well, actually, when I first came to Bangalore in 1977 and lived here until 1983, Bangalore was full of cows. It was full of cows. I used to live on Rajaji Nagar west of Court Road. Every morning and every evening, hundreds of cows would come, they'd milk the cows. They would, the cows would come to our door and they would milk the cow at our door. Everybody kept the cow, practically. So when I came back 20 years later, I was shocked. Instead of cows, people were keeping dogs. I was very shocked. I saw, not the local Indians, they only want imported dogs. The local Indian dogs can ride in the street, but they want imported dogs to live in the house. And instead of people, and I remember when I was first in in Bangalore, cow passed the stool. People would scramble to catch that stool, pack it up, put it on anything vertical, and then they'd use it in the city. Now, they have to hire people to pick up after the dog. You can't walk anything because of the dog. So, Bangalore, there was cows all over the place, just 20 years ago. Of course, we still get cows from, get milk from cows. People still keep cows here, but nothing like it was before.
And this is just 20 years. So you can see how much is the degradation in just 20 years.
When television was introduced into India, poor darshan. What the Muslims could not do in 800 years, what the British couldn't do in 300 years, television has done in 20 years.
It is the personality of Kali's biggest weapon, the television. So I think we have to stop here, isn't it? Because we have to take breakfast. And then we have the next session after that. So thank you very much, and I apologize once again for having kept all of you waiting here for a long time. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.